Hayward Nerds, this is a conversation from the episode of the Midnight Gospel entitled Mouse of Silver. And you know what I find is that the closer I get to physical death, the more alive I feel, and the more present I feel, and the more real I am. And I realize that I have no idea what lies on the other side of physical death, but that there's so much aliveness that's building in me that I can't help but think that there is some connection between that and the movement toward physical death. I can't explain that. I don't have an explanation of that. But I do think that we suffer more if we resist that flow of the river, that it's always flowing. If we try to get over there to the side so that we can stay on the bank and be exempt from the flow, that's when we begin to suffer more and more. And the amazing thing about letting go into it is that you find that this thing called love is supportive. It holds us. It has a quality of benevolence that we might have never noticed. And we ask, what's that? What is it that has that quality of benevolence? And the only word that I can come up with is reality. Reality actually has this quality of benevolence. Yes, right, and even benevolence. It's a very small word for what it is, isn't it? It's just like it's so intense. This experience of love energy is so powerful that to combat against it, we build an entire life, an entire ego to try not to feel it. It's so overwhelming, not desirable. It is desirable, and that's why it hurts. It's ego death. Your heart cracks open, and your ego is dying. But you find that ego death is a transfiguration. It's an alchemical transfiguration. Right, because who wants to carry around this fucking weight? You don't. I don't. Well, I love you very much, obviously. And I love you too. And Duncan, that kind of love isn't going anywhere. That's another thing you find. That I may leave this plane of existence sooner rather than later. But the love isn't going anywhere. I'm as certain of that as I am of anything. Before I recorded this, I rewatched this episode of The Midnight Gospel, and I can't believe that it still made me cry. This is the fourth or fifth time I've watched it, and I can attest that it has made me cry repeatedly without fail. And I suppose it's because it's gut-wrenching to hear Duncan Trussell, the voice of Clancy, talk to his mother about how to deal with loss when the person he's preparing himself to lose is her. But I'm getting way ahead of myself here. First off, The Midnight Gospel is a Netflix animated series that features the space nomad, Clancy, who goes into his simulator and visits different worlds in search of interviewees for his space casts. These space casts are kind of like podcasts because The Midnight Gospel has this really innovative format that takes existing episodes from the Duncan Trussell Family R podcast and adds this storyline to it with psychedelic visuals to match. And yeah, the animator is Pendleton Ward, the mind behind Adventure Time. So if you've watched the show, you have an idea of how crazy his worlds can get. But most episodes are very profound and existential, with topics on happiness, meditation, consciousness. And though it can be sensory overload sometimes with the wacky visuals and graphics and idea overload because the topics are quite heavy, it's really just wonderful to hear these interesting conversations with interesting people. But my favorite episode is this last episode where Duncan Trussell speaks with his mom, who 4 years prior to the interview was diagnosed with breast cancer and was still battling the disease during the time of the recording. In Clancy's fictional world, he meets his mother, and things kind of play out the same way. She has this conversation with him about love, loss, grief, and death as they ride through space in a literal mothership because it's his mom's ship, and with scientist bears doing experiments on them, and things go haywire towards the end. But before that, they just share this really intimate, beautiful conversation with each other. And here's the thing, if I could have quoted the entire episode, I probably would have. Their conversation was raw, poignant, and rung so true to me that it was nearly impossible to choose which words I would talk about today. But I chose this part because I think all the things they discuss about reality, love, aliveness really ties together all of the things that they were talking about in the earlier part of the episode, and everything really comes together beautifully in this segment. And I just really love how these three words, reality, love, aliveness, are used interchangeably in the conversation, as if it was just one thing that we have had to define with so many different words because it's just too vast for us to comprehend. His mom mentions that as she nears her physical death, she feels this aliveness building up in her. And in the end, she reassures Clancy that even after she's gone, her love for him will not leave this plane of existence. And I have this theory that this aliveness building up in her is actually all the love that she has within her, just waiting to explode into the universe again. Because isn't loving the ultimate proof of living? Isn't love what makes us alive? You know how they say we're made of stardust? That our atoms and cells once belonged to an exploded star. And that's what I think I would liken it to. That once our physical bodies are no longer capable of holding the love we have to give, it just naturally finds its way into the world. The second word they interchange with love is reality. And both Clancy and his mother say that love and or reality is benevolent. For those unfamiliar with the word, benevolence is kind of synonymous to well-meaning or kindness. And I love how she says that reality holds us and supports us and is kind. And if you look up the word reality in the dictionary, one definition that will come up is that reality is something that is neither derivative nor dependent, but exists necessarily. If we were to follow that definition of reality, I think it really is possible to interchange it with love because they seem to share so much in common. So if I were to break down that definition, so first, it is neither derivative nor dependent, not derivative. A lot of times, we don't know where love is derived. We can try to rationalize our feelings, say this and that is the reason why we feel love for others. But that's just the why of it, not the how. How did this energy come to exist within us? Where does it come from? You may think that, well, if you love someone and they stop loving you or you stop loving them, that's it. But no, love doesn't end there. Love is not dependent on people. Its existence isn't dependent on anything. It flows into everything because love is something that you can have for a place, for an object, for a moment, for a memory. You don't just feel it for a person. You feel it for a lot of things. You just feel it, period. It's constant. It's always there. It's like this well that's within you that's always full and overflowing so that you can pass that energy on to other people. And I'm not sure if I'm being clear because I know that it sounds so floaty and abstract and like a bunch of spiritual nonsense, but I really do understand what they say when they liken love to reality. And they kind of also support this hypothesis with their discussion on ego death. And it just made me think about how much ego obstructs so much of our perception of reality. It taints our perceptions. And when it's stripped away, though it may be painful, when we forget about ourselves and all our preconceived notions of identity, that's when we know truth. That's when we know reality. And that's when we know love. And the last part of the definition is that it exists necessarily. And I don't know about you, but I agree 100% to the idea that love is a necessity. And I'm not talking about like gooey romantic love, but just this positive force, this positive energy that completes this existence. I'm sorry if this episode was kind of all over the place. It's really hard to find concrete, clear, and concise words to explain these abstract and surely half-baked ideas. But thanks for sticking it out. And once again, here are the words from the Midnight Gospel. And you know what I find is that the closer I get to physical death, the more alive I feel, and the more present I feel, and the more real I am. And I realize that I have no idea what lies on the other side of physical death, but that there's so much aliveness that's building in me that I can't help but think that there is some connection between that and the movement toward physical death. I can't explain that. I don't have an explanation of that. But I do think that we suffer more if we resist that flow of the river. That it's always flowing. If we try to get over there to the side so that we can stay on the bank and be exempt from the flow, that's when we begin to suffer more and more. And the amazing thing about letting go into it is that you find that this thing called love is supportive. It holds us. It has a quality of benevolence that we might have never noticed. And we ask, what's that? What is it that has that quality of benevolence? And the only word that I can come up with is reality. Reality actually has this quality of benevolence. Yes, right, and even benevolence. It's a very small word for what it is, isn't it? It's just like it's so intense This experience of love energy is so powerful that to combat against it, we build an entire life, an entire ego to try not to feel it. It's so overwhelming, not desirable. It is desirable, and that's why it hurts. It's ego death. Your heart cracks open and your ego is dying, but you find that ego death is a transfiguration. It's an alchemical transfiguration. Right, because who wants to carry around this fucking weight? You don't. I don't. Well, I love you very much, obviously. And I love you too. And Duncan, that kind of love isn't going anywhere. That's another thing you find. That I may leave this plane of existence sooner rather than later. But the love isn't going anywhere. I'm as certain of that as I am of anything.